In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, I'm Reginald Atatula. We got Byron Matthews in for the sick Figgy Fig.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers, indeed. In fact, if you have him on Twitter or on Instagram, I don't know what other social medias he might have, go ahead and go wish him a happy birthday. It is our guy's birthday today. So yeah, make sure to do
Or tell him thoughts and prayers.
Or tell him both. Thoughts and prayers on your birthday.
Hang in there.
That's right.
Yeah.
In fact, don't even say, just hang in there. Just hang in there, Figgy. Yeah, exactly. That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, go do that. Let us know what he says. But yeah, get involved on the text line, 713-572-4610. Let's get into around the AFC South, what happened around this division. Funny enough, not a ton happening around the division, where it's one game. But again, it is still choose your own adventure. So which team would you like to start with?
Let's start with the one that didn't play.
Yeah, the one that did not play is indeed the Tennessee Titans. They were on a bye. They're still 1-3. And one of the things that, as I was looking what was happening with the Tennessee Titans, I realized, do you know that there is not a single team in this division with a positive differential, point differential?
Yeah, even the Texans.
Even the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Texans. So that was a weird thing to see in this AFC South. But Bill Callahan has said that Will Levis will start once he's healthy, however, and he's expected to be good. However, I know that Mason Rudolph has kind of expressed a little disappointment in the idea of possibly not being able to start going forward. He was able to play during the course of their last game when Will Levis was taken out of the game on Monday night. Where would you go in that regard? Because Will Levis, obviously, he tracks more and projects more as their kind of quarterback of some level of future, if not the future. But Mason Rudolph looks like he's definitely a lower ceiling, 100% lower ceiling, but he is way more consistent and steady than Will Levis.
Yeah, I actually think that they are going to play a Mason Rudolph. Because if you think about it, on the one hand, you could say, well, Will Levis has another week to kind of, you know, work on things and grasp the system and all that stuff a little better. But really, Mason Rudolph does too. I mean, he does too. And if your objective is to win games, it does come down to, who gives you the best chance. And unlike some other places like Cleveland, you're not giving up. I mean, it's not a wrap on Will Levis. But I think, you know, it's maybe a reset. Even if he does start again this year, but try to win some games, you know, as you go. I mean, I think it's not a great situation, but I would expect Mason Rudolph, contrary to what he was saying.
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, there's quite a divide in the Titans fan base. Mm-hmm. As their SB Nation site, the Music City Miracles, what it's called, whatever. Yeah. They put out a little poll themselves to see who they thought should start after the bye week for the Titans. 51% said Will Levis.
That's pretty well split.
49% Mason Rudolph. I mean, the only way it gets more split is if it's 50-50. It's kind of incredible how many. You're not in a good place if people are like, we need Mason Rudolph.
We have to have Mason Rudolph.
So yeah, that's what's happening with the Tennessee Titans. They are debating whether their backup or their starting quarterback should play in the upcoming week, as they are 1-3 and they are currently on. By the way, Week 5 bye week is an awful situation.
It's way too early, right?
Like, I don't know exactly how they, because I mean, you have
something
to figure
like
out
7, you know, 7 through 11 or 12 or whatever is where you should start it.
I feel like, yeah.
Yeah.
But the tough thing about it, and like, I think even though I know they try and keep it from having bye weeks really late in the season, I still think I'd much rather have a later bye week than a super early bye week.
Mm-hmm.
It feels weird to say this. I don't think teams are even really all that tired yet, right? Like,
compared to what they will be.
Yeah.
And how beat up
they will get absolutely beat up. And I imagine that's got to really stink for the Titans this when you get later on and you're just like, we got beat up. But so glad we got a week three or week five, rather, bye week where we could take a time and reevaluate what's happening.
It actually snuck up on me, because, you know, obviously I play fantasy football like a lot of people. And went, oh, crap. I got to come up with some subs already.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think 7 should be the first bye week.
Like even 6, I could see a little bit better, but I'm with you. I think 7.
Yeah.
Titans will get the Colts in week 6 when they get back into it. So that's what's happening there. All right. We continue. Choose your own adventure around the AFC South where you want to go.
I need me a Joe Flacco discussion.
All right. You want to talk about the Colts as my internet decided not to help me out right now. Don't you hate when that happens? But yeah, we continue around the NFC South, talk about the Indianapolis Colts, who after being, by the way, they're 2-3. They lost to the Jags. And after being down 34-20 with 5.5 to go thereabouts, they tied the game at 34 with 2 minutes 50 left. And then, yeah, that defense gave up 37 points ultimately as they lost 37-34. And they surrendered 497 total yards, which was the most that Jags had in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
They surrendered 8.7 yards per play, which is the most.
None of that is good.
Most since the Jags have had since, get this, 1998. Colts defense not good.
Man.
That's all I wanted to say. I just wanted you to know the Colts defense have not been very good at all. What was good in some regards, Joe Flacco. You wanted to have this debate, let's do it. 33-44, so good for 75%. 359 yards, averaged 8.2 yards per attempt, 3 touchdowns. He did get sacked 4 times, but I mean, hey, man.
He also ran for, 29 yards or something on one run. He went full Josh Allen mode, which was way out of character, especially for a 39-year-old. But he got it. My thing with Joe Flacco is, you know, the arc of his popularity is really not even an arc. It's almost like an EKG. You know, it just goes up and down, up and down. But when you hang around this league and you do the things that he's done and you win the games that he's won, and especially these last 2 years with Cleveland and Indianapolis, it's uncanny. He's going to end up being just an absolute beloved player, you know, when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I feel like we as sports fans love folks who aren't supposed to be here,
mm-hmm.
right, or who we view as not supposed to be here. And Joe Flacco in week 17, as old guy, people seem to love it. In fact, interestingly enough, in his media availability, I believe after this game, he seemed to kind of liken what Anthony Richardson is dealing with the hip thing to his, you know, year 11 injury, mm-hmm. where Lamar Jackson ultimately comes in and usurps him, and talks about how, you know, the decision between trying to come back and battle back so that you don't lose that spot, but then also considering the future. And he kind of in some ways attributed that to why he's still here in year 17 here. But in playing football, but I found it interesting that he made that particular comparison. I don't know if necessarily he has some feeling that he's going to take the job from Anthony Richardson in the same way that Lamar Jackson did for him. But that kindred, I guess, feeling that he seemed to have with Anthony Richardson there was interesting.
The other aspect of this that is very interesting is, and I know Jameis, you know, has had his moments and all that, but you don't think they're missing the boat, missing him a little bit in Cleveland? After what he did last year. And by the way, there was a report, I think it was Diana Russini today, saying that Joe Flacco's people were, quote, shocked that they didn't make an offer for him to stay around.
The Colts were the only team to offer Joe Flacco a contract this year.
Yeah.
He's 39 years old, and he just made his 186th career start, which is the fourth most amongst active quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess, salute to them. They got a continual veteran that's helping them navigate a really weird quarterback situation that they have with Anthony Richardson. And so we move it along around the AFC South to the other side of that game, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who got their first win of the season. No more completely defeated teams in the NFL. They are no winless teams. 1-4 now, the Jacksonville Jaguars, with their 37-34 win. And they also debuted their Prowler throwback uniforms. All right, it's in.
Are they throwbacks really? It seems weird when you say that.
But yeah, I mean, it does feel like a throwback. But they have not varied too far.
Yeah,
straight too far from those overall. I get what you're saying, but they are the throwbacks. They're probably the best iteration of jerseys that they've had as a franchise.
I think so. Yeah.
So yeah, they debuted that. They also inducted Tom Coughlin into their Hall of Fame, their mm-hmm. inaugural head coach. That feels like that had to happen, right?
Oh, for sure.
I do this one almost exclusively for our listener Ocho because he loves this man. And you know where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Thomas Jr. notched the fastest ball carrier speed that's been recorded by Next Gen Stats this year. 22.15 miles per hour on an 85-yard go route.
I think that's pretty fast.
Yeah. Like,
I think that's pretty fast.
If you were going to have a player that you were fascinated by, mm-hmm. shout out to Ocho. Brian Thomas Jr., not a bad one because fast guy, very capable. I mean, we saw that up close and personal here mm-hmm. in the ways that him in the slot when he was getting out here and doing things, it was fun. But yeah, he was able to get an 85-yard touchdown on a go route, and he just torched the cornerback. Trayvon Walker.
Oh, thank you, because that's kind of where I was going to go. This, to me, for the Jaguars, was obviously good news for Jacksonville fans, but to me, it was kind of a big tease game. Start with Trevor Lawrence. Career-high 371 yards passing.
Yes.
That's a big tease, because he's so inconsistent. You know there are people up there going, well, maybe he's going to turn the corner. How many times you said that? You know, how many times have you said that about Trevor Lawrence? Okay, maybe this is the one that ignites him. Now, I could be wrong, and maybe it is, but all evidence is, like, he'll do this to you. He'll throw a game or two up there where you're like, all right, and then it goes back to what he was. And then the other one is Trevon Walker.
Yeah.
Probably the best game of his career.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 3 sacks and a forced fumble. Josh Hines-Allen on the other side added a sack and a fumble recovery. But, like, it's always been interesting looking at Walker because they made a mistake taking him over Aiden Hutchinson. Like, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. But you could see that the talent that he has shows up. So at least that will make it better. I wonder if they could get to a point where they can maybe have Trevon Walker be like the city of Houston feels about Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard anyone in the city of Houston be like, damn, we didn't get Jordan?
Mm-hmm. No.
Not really. Like, everybody's like, no, we're glad that we got Hakeem. Like, yeah, no. Jordan's over there, and he's great and probably the greatest of all time. But, yeah, we're good with Hakeem. Like, I do wonder if Trayvon Walker's able to do more of that if he doesn't get to that spot. But, yeah, very far away, more tease than what I've described there. And finally, Tank Bigsby, man.
They still do that angry runs thing?
He'll be up there. He'll be up there, man. He already had a career best against the Texans last week. I know I'm bringing up old stuff. Don't worry about it. But he ran for 101 yards against the Colts as well.
Mm-hmm.
Tank Bigsby, man. I know that they've said that he is not overtaking Doug Peterson. He said he will not overtake Trevor Etienne. Etienne is their guy. But, that might be something to watch for because Bigsby can tote that rock, buddy.
He ran over 5 dudes. I'm looking at it right now. Like, over. Not just around. Over 5 dudes. But you know what? I think the right call is the 1-2 punch. And keep featuring Etienne.
So, yeah, they have back-to-back London games. As we mentioned, they face off against the Bears at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, mm-hmm. week 6. And then they go to, they're both in London. But then they get the Patriots at Wembley, week 7. That sucks for the Patriots. They're going to, although they'll play at home. We'll play them at home.
Yeah, playing at home, you know, Sunday, and then they travel.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, they desperately needed that win, but I do feel it was mostly like a tease game that they're still going to do what we know they do.
And we appreciate the Jags for beating the Colts, so the Colts fall.
Yeah, the division's behind. Almost a wrap already.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you hate to say that, but it is.
2 games up, your Houston Texans on the nearest team being the Colts at 2-3. Other teams only have 1 win between with Jacksonville and Tennessee. Yeah, it's a sad division when it comes to those mm-hmm. other folks. Mm-hmm. If you're not the Houston Texans. What a time. That's around the AFC South. Appreciate you hanging out with us in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, it is a victory Monday. Texans got a victory 23-20 over the Bills, a signature win over a good team and a good quarterback in the league. However, it wasn't perfect. So let's nitpick a little bit. Victory Monday nitpick. What are the things that we still need to see better from these Texans? We'll do that next.